Well, thank you, and I just try to live up to your standards.
It's interesting in this schedule because everybody had to get out of the gate with a really good opponent. So normally when I'm talking to a coach, I'll say, hey, in the context of an opening game. So for Ryan Day, in the context of an opening game, what did he like and what didn't he like?
I think he liked the fact, Steve, first off, that they didn't have a boatload of penalties, because that's something that typically can happen in a first game when things get a little ragged. They liked the fact that they played a lot of people. As it kind of got one-sided in the second half. But really liked, for the most part, the way, and hard to argue with Justin Fields playing the way he did, 20 for 21 passing, and really liked the way the defense got disruptive and adjusted after Nebraska had come up with some sizable plays in the first half. So there were all of those things, but he also, and you know how coaches are, liked the fact that there's some things that they need to improve on and coaching points.
When you've had a chance to talk with him, it took a little while for the running game to get in gear. What did he see there?
You know, I think it was the way he talked about it, Steve, was running backs, and especially the committee of Trey Sermon and Master Teague, just getting used to being tackled. You know, well, the way these summer camps and fall camps and everything have gone, Ohio State, probably like a lot of other people, didn't do a ton of heavy tackling. So kind of just getting adjusted to that. I think they really did like how the offensive line played on the line of scrimmage. So maybe you don't see the individual numbers from a single back like J.K. Dobbins spoiled everybody with in the last few years, but just like the way that, you know, they kind of approached it and eventually started to get a little bit of a rhythm there.
Yeah, I was one of those guys last year when it came time to running backs. As much respect as I have for Jonathan Taylor, I voted J.K. Dobbins one. I mean, that's how good I thought. That's how good I thought it was last year. Now, go ahead, Paul.
And it was something that really started as a true freshman. When Mike Weber was injured, he was able to really assert himself as a freshman to get on that big role.
Justin Fields, in the Penn State game last year, obviously he threw the ball well. That's a given, but he really hurt Penn State with his feet. When you look at him, where do you and Jim Lachey feel you're seeing a maturation of a quarterback who's in his second year as a starter?
You know, Steve, I think a lot of it has to do with a second year with these coaches. And even though Corey Dennis is a new quarterback's coach, he's been on the staff as a quality control person. So, you know, combine that with, you know, being around Ryan Day, being around everything else. And then when you combine the weapons he has around him, the running backs we talked about, the receivers, whether it's Wilson, Olave, Jamison, Williamson, the freshman receivers who look good, and that offensive line with significant experience. All of those things, I think, have made for great comfort for Justin Fields in the second year.
When you look at the defense, I want to go to the linebackers first, because these are mostly three-year starters there. Tough Borland, three-year starter, Pete Warner, all right? And Browning really was – he came back against Penn State last year. He was terrific, I thought. Where have you seen the maturation with them over the last couple of years that turn a good group into a much better group?
You know, they had 68 starts among the linebacker group going into last Saturday. And I think, Steve, really it's experience, number one. It's a second year under this defensive scheme that's been put together with, you know, Kerry Combs coming back here, but then Al Washington and Greg Madison. Because this was a group 2 years ago in the entire defense that was being roasted because of the big plays they were giving up. So experience, the flexibility, because Pete Werner's moved from one side to the other. Baron Browning had been playing in the middle. Right. He's been put on the outside. So I think it's experience and just that consistency with coaching again.
Obviously, you and Jim Lachey will talk about that defense and how they play coverage. They've done a lot of one-high safety. The Ohio State coaches, when you've talked with them, what are some of the advantages that they feel they have with one-high safety in the three corners out there?
Well, it gives them the opportunity to move people around into different positions. You know, Sean Wade, who has been a safety, now playing a corner, gives them that flexibility. Marcus Williamson is a guy that does that also. Josh Proctor is somebody that they can almost play like a big safety, a small linebacker. So it's just kind of that athleticism and some of the size they bring. And that's also where they think guys like Pete Werner as a linebacker can help them with some of what he does in pass coverage too. And it really is, it's the revolution of what defenses have had to do against these offenses with the hurry up and all of the different things that they put in place. So it's just kind of, and again, Steve, this goes, they had so many one-sided games last year. Not Penn State, but so many of the other ones where they were able to play so many second and third team guys, a lot of reps, that's given them the ability to be ready to plug those guys into those situations just because of their athleticism and the way they've reacted to the different things they've seen.
A couple of young receivers, Jackson Smith, that's a hyphenated, I'll get the pronunciation by Saturday, and Julian Fleming. With Olave and Wilson, they're not going to get as many reps, but how high are they on the young wideouts?
Very high. Jackson Smith and Jigba, who made an incredible. You're welcome. There's weeks of practice that have gone into that. And made an incredible touchdown catch in the back of the end zone that at first was called incomplete and then by review was reversed. Julian Fleming out of Pennsylvania, big receivers. Mookie Cooper is another guy. And G. Scott, that they really like these guys, not only as receivers, but what they've been able to show them to use on special teams, whether it's covering kicks or covering punts. And I think it certainly adds to the presence of Olave and Garrett Wilson and Jameson Williams to be able to have these guys just to give defenses a different look, give everybody a rest every now and then. And it just gives Justin Fields that much more of a target. And it's even more amazing, Steve, that these guys have shown the way they have. And you consider there was no spring football.
Right. I mean, Paul, to you, Master Teague is a known entity, but it was your first opportunity to really see Trey Sermon play. What was the initial impression you got of him?
You know, we saw him, his first career touchdown came against Ohio State when he was at Oklahoma.
He caught
a pass in the horseshoe. Anxious to see more. They seem to be more similar than they are different, big physical running backs. We didn't get a chance to see either one of them tear loose on a big breakaway type play, but they took care of the football very well. And you know, coaches love that kind of thing. So anxious to see more. The guy that in a really short dose that showed well was Steel Chambers, third-year sophomore. Got four carries. He showed a little burst coming through the line. So anxious to see more of those guys and just what they can do.
I think he had four carries for 32 yards or something like that. Pretty good burst for him along the way. What's the impression you're getting around town of what happened with Penn State last week in Indiana?
Well, I think people really understand that it was a game that Penn State should have won, that a lot of crazy things happened in that football game, obviously.
I was a witness.
As you witnessed, absolutely. So I don't think it dims in any way, shape, or form the impression around here of the type of team that Ohio State's going to face. People experience firsthand the difficulty that Sean Clifford can create, and I think there certainly is a great regard for what Penn State traditionally is on defense. So, as disappointing as that game must have been over there in State College and around Pennsylvania, I think people understand that it was Penn State's game to win.
All right, so now the next part deals with our profession. because I have not done a game yet in Beaver Stadium until Saturday night with the place being relatively empty. I did the game in Indiana, but you and I both know Indiana, with all due respect, I'm not trying, it can be a sleepy atmosphere anyway. At Indiana. So what was it like for you to sit in that stadium with 105,000 seats and have virtually no one there and try to do the game?
It was unusual. Not seeing the band come out of the north tunnel to the stadium, not seeing people tailgate around the stadium, not seeing the football team walk out and Blocko folks in the south end yelling to the head coach. But once the game got going, with the artificial noise and the few people, the families of players and coaches that were there, you just really kind of got focused. I revert back to last year, Steve, there were so many fourth quarters where there were so few people there because Ohio State had such big leads. And it also bears some similarity to some of the spring games we experienced. So once you got going, I think being in the stadium and just watching the football team, that brought about a sense of normalcy. Now this week, since we're going to be doing the game remotely, not having the privilege of coming to State College, that's going to be a little more of a challenge. But, it's what everybody in our profession, at the professional level has had to do here in the past spring and summer. So, it'll be unusual.
Yeah, no, it will be. Because, in fact, I really gave the exact same answer when somebody else asked me about that. And I said, what's the game got going? You're so locked in the field about who's in, who's out, what sub package is in, that you don't even think about the fact that there's nobody there. It's before the game when you're sitting there looking around going, okay. And it's after the game where you're looking around going, okay. And that's what wouldn't really hit me.
Yeah, and that is going to be the unusual part all year, going out after the game and seeing parking lots. I mean, usually we see them pretty desolate, but before the game is where it was really, really strange.
Yeah. Have you ever called any sporting event off a monitor before?
No, have not. And I don't mind telling you, oh, great one, I am nervous about doing it. My understanding is we'll get multiple monitors with multiple views, and we'll do the best we can. I've joked with friends of mine that said, just give the opportunity to make up more stuff than we usually.
Yeah, that's always the running joke here. You know, with me, you get two games for the price of one, the one you're watching and the one I'm broadcasting. So
I got to remember that one.
You know, as long as you get an all 22, I think, you know, the only thing I ever did on monitor was a couple of swimming and diving meets years ago, but that's it. So, I mean, I wish you nothing but the best of, but if anybody can make this happen and make it seem like you're there, it's you and Jim Lachey. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. We will miss getting to see you guys up there in person, but, I think everybody's anticipating between the lines. It's still going to be a very competitive
football. No question about it. Paul, it is always a pleasure, my friend. We will continue to talk as this season goes.
Sounds good, Steve. Take care.